Welcome everyone, I hope you've all had a really good weekend. This is the third edition of the Cardinal Griffin Radio English Podcast. Coming up this week, we've got a revision guide for Simon Armitage's poem My Father Thought It Bloody Queer, again for the GCSE English Literature Anthology. And we've also got a very special competition. For those of you that like writing poetry, for those of you that like writing lyrics, the competition this week is going to be for you to write the lyrics to one of my songs. That's right, you're going to write the lyrics to one of my songs. Why? Well, because the winning entry will get a £10 iTunes voucher. That is right, a £10 iTunes voucher. Clearly no expense spared. But not only that, the winning entry will get the chance to record the lyrics to the song and have it published on my MySpace page. So if you fancy yourself as a lyric writer, a songwriter, this is your chance. This is your opportunity to show me how good you are at writing poetry, to show the rest of the school how good you are at writing poetry, and to have your poetry published on a forum where people can actually hear it. Also, the song with your vocal on it will be part of one of the podcasts coming up in the very near future. So I'm really excited about this competition. I want to find out what you're capable of writing. Competition's open to everybody from year 7 all the way up to year 13. The song is included in this podcast. It's a song that hasn't got a title at the moment. But what I want you to do is to listen to the song. I want you to write some lyrics for it. And you can submit them either directly to me in my classroom, or you can email them to me at the email address that will be coming up when you hear that song later in this podcast. So listen to the song, pick up your pens, get writing, and your entry must be handed in to me by the end of the Friday of the first week that we come back after the half-term break. That's the end of the Friday that we come back after half-term. So you have about 3 weeks to get your lyrics written and submitted to me. I will then look at every single entry that we get, I will judge a winner, and I will announce the winner in a special edition of the podcast that will be coming up around about 4 weeks from now. Once the winning entry is announced, then I will make the award of the £10 iTunes voucher in an assembly, so everyone will know that you've won. I'll also publish your lyrics on the notice board outside of my classroom. I'll put them on my blog, and also we'll make some arrangements for you to record the song. That song will then be uploaded onto my MySpace page for anybody to hear if they want to. And I'll also put the song into one of the podcasts, so everyone that downloads it will actually hear you singing your song, your lyrics, and surely fame, fortune, celebrity status, and a very, very highly paid record deal will be just around the corner for you. And you don't get that opportunity in any school in the country. Only at Cardinal Griffin, folks. Don't you just love this song? This is Death by White Lies, who seem to be the band of the moment. Let's listen to a bit more of this lovely song. Okay, that was Death by White Lies. Now it is time for the competition. You are about to hear the song that you're going to write the lyrics to. What I suggest you do is listen to the song 3-4 times. Think about what images come into your head. What does the song say to you? What kind of pictures does it put into your head? And then try to identify what you think of the verses, what you think of the choruses, and write the lyrics however you want to write them. It is whatever comes into your head. It's your ideas that matter. Okay, so here is the song. This is the song that you are going to write the lyrics to. Okay, there you go. That's the song that you're going to write the lyrics to. It's fairly straightforward. It follows a verse, chorus structure. So when you write your lyrics, you should be writing two verses and one chorus, or two choruses if you want. It can be two different choruses. It's entirely up to you. But it can be verse, chorus. You've got until the 27th of February to submit your entry. And you can either give it to me directly, or you can email it to me at gary.webster1@googlemail.com. That's gary.webster1@googlemail.com. So either send your entries in to me via email or hand them to me They will all be judged after that final closing date of the 27th of February. It's going to take me about a week to judge them all. And then in the edition of the podcast that you will be able to download on the 1st of March, I will announce the winning entry and we'll take it from there. So get listening, get writing over the half-term holidays. Now you can listen to the song without having to go through all of the podcast. You can find this song on my MySpace page, the address of which is www.myspace.com, The Last Waltz Music, that is www.myspace.com/The Last Waltz Music, and The Last Waltz Music is all one word. If you go to there, you will be able to find this song, so you don't have to keep wading through the podcast to be able to listen to it. I will allow you to download that song so you can listen to it on your iPod or whatever, and you can write the lyrics from there. So have fun. Hope you enjoy it, and show me what you can do. Okay, time for a bit more music. This is Ulysses by Franz Ferdinand. That was Ulysses by Franz Ferdinand. Now it is time for the revision guide to Simon Armitage's poem, My Father Thought It Bloody Queer, which is again one of the key poems for the English literature exam that you're going to be sitting at the end of May. And as ever, we'll start off with a reading of the poem. So here goes. This is from the Book of Matches, 1993 collection of work from Simon Armitage, which, if you listen to an earlier podcast, you'll know was a collection of poems that were all designed to be read in the time that it takes for a lit match to burn down. And the idea is you should be able to read it all before the match burns your fingers. This is My Father Thought It Bloody Queer. My father thought it bloody queer the day I rolled home with a ring of silver in my ear, half hidden by a mop of hair. You've lost your head if that's how easily you're led. You should have had it through your nose instead. And even then I hadn't had the nerve to numb the lobe with ice, then drive a needle through the skin, then wear a safety pin. It took a jeweller's gun to pierce the flesh, and then a friend to thread the sleeper in. And where it slept, the hole became a sore, became a wound, and wept. At 29, it comes as no surprise to hear my own voice breaking like a tear, released like water, cried from way back in the spiral of the ear. If I were you, I'd take it out and leave it out next year. So this poem is about something that happens to all of us as we grow up. At 12, 13, 14, we just started to begin to question our parents' authority. Before then, we always accept what they say to us. They tell us to do something, we do it. We don't question what they tell us. And then all of a sudden, we go through adolescence, we grow up, we start to find our own feet, we start to want to become a bit more independent. And we do things that we want to do rather than things that we're told to do by our parents. And sometimes the things that we want to do, our parents don't agree with. But we do them anyway, because we want to assert ourselves. We want to show that we're individuals, that we're no longer going to do what our parents tell us to do. We're going to do our own thing. And this poem is very much about that. The voice, it may belong to Simon Armitage. It may not. It could represent any teenager. Or at least it could represent any adult who is looking back on their teenage years at a time when they did rebel, when they did something that their parents clearly didn't agree with. And it could speak for any adult. Or it could be Simon Armitage imagining something from his own life or remembering something from his own life and writing autobiographically. So we have a poem that starts off with, although it has no speech marks, a quotation. My father thought it bloody queer the day I rolled home with a ring of silver in my ear, half hidden by a mop of hair. How is that a quotation? Well, the word's bloody queer. We can imagine that Simon Armitage's father used to him when he came home with his ear pierced. His father obviously thought it was bloody queer. Queer, of course, having two meanings here. Queer in the very, very insulting slang sense of being gay, but also strange. He rolled home. Suggests confidence, a casual cockiness. Like we all have when we're young, we think we're right. We believe we're right, and we believe that our parents are always wrong. He's got a mop of hair. Suggests that his hair is overgrown. He's following a fashion. He's growing his hair long to make a statement. And clearly the quotation, "You've lost your head," has more than one meaning. He's got a mop of hair, which is covering his head, therefore he's lost his head. But also, it's an expression that means you've gone mad. And the father says, if that's how easily you're led, you should have had it through your nose instead. We think instantly of bulls having a ring put through their nose so the farmer can lead them easily. So the father thinks that the son is just following what his friends want him to do. His friends have had their ear pierced, and so he's just gone along with that and had his ears pierced too, so he fits in with the crowd of people that he's hanging around with. His father doesn't think that he's had this done because of his own desires. He's just copying his mates. In the second stanza, he says, "Even then I hadn't the nerve to numb the lobe with ice, then drive a needle through the skin." Simon Armitage is talking about what his mates might have done, to actually pierce their ears themselves rather than to go to a jeweller and have it done. Clearly among his group of friends, that's seen as the tougher option, the thing to show that you're really, really tough. And going to the jewellers to have it done is a bit of a sissy option. Now, Simon Armitage says, "Even then I hadn't had the nerve to numb the lobe with ice." He almost doesn't believe that he's doing the right thing, that he had to go and have someone else to do it for him, that having his ear pierced wasn't really him. It's a bit of an admission that he was just going along with everybody else. His heart wasn't in it. He says it took a jeweler's gun to pierce the flesh. Notice what a violent image that is. He's actually making a hole in his own body for the sake of fashion. And then it takes a friend to thread the sleeper in. And he says where it slept, the hole became a sore, became a wound, and wept. The hole in his ear began to fester. It became infected. And surely that's another sign that it wasn't really the right thing for him to have done. He was just going along with it. He was trying to create the image of himself being fashionable and slightly rebellious, but it wasn't really him. So the wound became infected is a symbol of the fact that it wasn't a decision that he was meant to have taken. In the third stanza, we move into the present tense. Simon Armitage, now 29, or the speaker, now 29, and looking back on what he did when he was young. And as a grown-up, as an adult, he says, "It comes as no surprise to hear my own voice breaking like a tear, released like water, cried from way back in the spiral of the ear." This is an emotional realization for him. He realizes now that he did actually make a mistake having his ear pierced. He didn't really want to have it done. He was just being rebellious. It was just making a statement to his parents. And his own voice breaks like a tear. So great sadness, great emotion pouring out as he realizes that after all these years, his parents were actually right. Released like water, he says. A sense of being overwhelmed by the emotion and actually grateful that this realization, that this admission that he was wrong at the time has finally been allowed to come out. And he says it's cried from way back in the spiral of the ear, something that's from deep within him. At the time, at 16 years of age, or however he was, however old he was when he had the ear pierced, he believed that it was right. He would have defended what he had done to the hilt and never admit that he was wrong. But 13 or so years later, he realizes that he was wrong. And the last line of the poem, "If I were you, I'd take it out and leave it out next year." Whose voice is that? Is that Simon Armitage's own voice? Is it Simon Armitage remembering his father's voice from all those years ago? Does he agree with his father? It clearly seems to suggest that now he hears his father's words coming out of his own head. A suggestion perhaps that now that he's 29, he has turned into his own father. So Simon Armitage in this poem seems to be suggesting or admitting that he's not making some grand and noble gesture, some principle in which he believes. He has to wait until long after he's left home before he can remove the earring, because to do so is an admission of his mistake in putting it in. If he had taken the earring out at the age of 17, his parents would have turned around and said, "I told you so." And the idea is that he's kept that earring in for 13 years to avoid having to admit that he was wrong. So it's not some great noble principle that he was defending by wearing this earring. It was just simply a fashionable gesture, in the spirit of rebellion against your parents, what he would consider to have been tyranny perhaps, too much control over him. And his piercing of his ear was to say, "I am my own person. I'm not going to do what you say anymore. Even though you told me not to pierce my ear, I've gone and had it done anyway." And he believes, obviously, that that was the right thing to do. But then there is the realization, maybe I've made a mistake, but I can't take my earring out because I can't admit that I've been wrong. The ending is ambiguous. Some readers will see the removal of the ring as a sign of wisdom and maturity. Others could regret the way the speaker has become sensible and ready to conform, to take the earring out and be just like everybody else. And the voice at the end is the speaker's own voice, but it seems very much like what his father or mother might have said once they'd realised that the earring was not coming out in a hurry. It may be that while he sees that he was wrong, he still regrets losing the will to rebel or to find his real self. Like other matches in the collection, this is a short poem in a very conversational style. It has frequent irregular rhymes. The subject may seem quite a trivial one, but it does conceal a more deeply felt struggle of the young for independence, of the common sense and the prudence, the conservativeness of their parents, which is often felt by teenagers as negative criticism. Parents worry that their teenage children are going off the rails, and the teenagers feel that they're always being criticised by their parents, and there's that need to move away from their control and to stand up on your own two feet. So some questions to finish off with. In reading the poem, do you take sides? Have you got any experience of things like the speaker in the poem is talking about, where you've had clashes with your parents over clothes that you're going to wear, or style that you want to wear your hair in, or even having your own ear pierced? If you do have those experiences, then clearly it'll affect the way that you relate to the poem. We always bring our own experiences to our understanding of any poem. If you've got similar experiences, you'll respond differently to a person who hasn't got any experience like this. But all responses are perfectly valid. Second question, does the young man in the poem, whether it's Simon Armitage or just somebody in general, does the young person in the poem come across as a sympathetic rebel without a cause character, or does he seem weak and insecure? Would you describe him in some other way? And what would be your evidence for justifying what you think? The third question, what's the effect of the poem's wordplay in the poem? Look at the words nerve and wept, for instance. Can you find any other examples of wordplay? Fourth question, the poet describes the decision to take out the earring as a voice breaking like a tear and water being released from the ear where it has been trapped. Does this suggest that this is a welcome relief or regretful acceptance of defeat? Does the poet sound like he is happy to take the earring out, or does it sound like he's had to admit defeat in his desire to be independent and ending up conforming to what society wants him to be? And the final question, when the father calls the ring bloody queer, do you think he merely means that it's stupid, or does the father think that his son's turning gay? It's up to you. What do you think? Okay, so that's it for this week. Just a reminder that the closing date for the competition is Friday the 23rd of February. You can either give your entries to me directly, or you can email them to me and I'll give you that email address again. It's gary.webster1@googlemail.com. If you want to hear the song without listening through the podcast, you can find it at www.myspace.com/thelastwaltzmusic. And that's about it from me. Hope you enjoy the writing competition. I want to see your entries come flooding in. I want to see as many people entering as possible. And also I want your comments. So I want to know what you want to see included in future editions of the podcast. Things that you're doing in English, things that you're unsure about, things that you want clarifying, anything at all that you want to see in any of these podcasts, then just let me know in the usual ways by email, by leaving a comment on the blog, or by talking to me directly in school. Okay, that's it. Hope to see you again next time. And Katie and Alice, I hope you found that there were less verbal fillers in this episode. Thank you, everyone. See ya.